I never asked for an appointment in my voicemail. I didn't ask for anything in my voicemails except for a call back from Dr. Knowles. I didn't want to speak to a tech. I wanted to speak to Dr. Knowles. And in every conversation, I said, can I speak to her directly? They're saying, well, there was no record in your voicemail asking for an appointment. I didn't even ask for a refill in my appointment or any of the stuff that I discussed with the techs. I literally just asked to speak to her or to get seen by her. I wasn't interested in discussing this with the lowly tech who doesn't understand what's going on.
So you repeatedly said over and over that you were refused an appointment?
Yes.
But you weren't. You didn't ask for one.
I didn't ask for it in my voicemails. I asked for it when I got a call back. When I spoke to the tech each time, I said, this is what's going on. I didn't give the details of what's going on in the voicemail. I just said I needed
you
a call back.
And when they called you back, the technician told you, you don't need an appointment. The doctor
told you. No, she said, I'll get back to you. I have to check that with Dr. Knowles. I have to check if it's an appointment or a prescription refill or if you should just go, you know, what are your plans? It just seemed like nobody gave a shit. That's the bottom line. Nobody cared. Dr. Knowles, least of everyone. She couldn't care less. She couldn't find 5 minutes in her day to pick up the phone and just call us. And to be honest, my husband's a physician, and that's why he knows side effects of drugs like this. But if I was the one parent handling this, I would never have known it was Dr. Knowles that killed my dog. And I wonder how many other vets died after treatment by her hand, and they just think it's a natural thing that their dog got sick with whatever. It's only because my husband's knowledgeable in this area that we're even aware. I mean, you guys are vets. You gotta be the biggest pet lovers out there. Think about how many lives may have been lost. Scooby had time on his hands. He had sisters that loved him. My three-year-old still asks me, when is Scooby coming back from the doctor? She doesn't understand. It's been 10 months,
so
and she still misses
I'm sorry,
her
I need to bring this in a little bit, because when we ask a question, we get an answer.
Yeah.
That's not an invitation to expand beyond
sure.
what I asked.
Go ahead.
Or anybody else asked a question about. So we need to move on. And we started out this with, we have read all the materials.
Okay.
So now is us questioning from what we have, or if you have something new to present to us. So I'm not seeing anything new. I'm just trying to move us along here because we're going way beyond just answering questions.
Okay.
I know they're not all yes or no questions.
I'm clarifying that in none of my voicemails did I ask for the next action. I just asked for a callback. So I didn't ask for an appointment in my voicemails, no.
Okay, then it's unrealistic for you to say that I was denied.
Well, I asked for an appointment when I got the callback. Does that make sense? Just like I didn't ask for a prescription refill on my medications, I just asked for callbacks. I had to discuss what's going on. I need to explain the situation. I wasn't giving the whole, let you know, he's doing this, he's doing that in a voicemail. I wanted a conversation with someone about that.
Okay. Any other questions for board members? Somebody on the phone?
No, sir.
No. All right. So this. Any more board members, so that you're excused. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Knowles, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
Yes, sir. I have a few comments, and then Dr. Knowles may have some as well. First, with regard to the history of vomiting, I want to direct you to the statement from Dr. Mira Patel. She was the emergency room physician that first saw Scooby when he's brought in on the 8th. Says Scooby presented to, this is her narrative statement, for vomiting. Initially spoke with a female owner for history. She stated that Scooby had been vomiting on and off for a few weeks. This is a consistent pattern that we're getting from the complaints. They're changing their story. They're saying things that are simply not supported by the medical record. You just heard repeatedly that she said, we would be lucky if we got a call back in a week. We never got a call back except on February 8th. We never got a timely phone call back. If you look at the medical record for January 29th, owner called, left message at 10:31. At 10:48, the phone call was returned. And none of these voicemail messages, another inconsistency, they're consistently saying, every time we called, we demanded a recheck appointment. There's, none of the recordings have any reference to that. Medical record, excuse me for the echo. The medical record, there's no indication of a request made for a recheck or one would have been given. They're done all the time. They're done routinely by the practice. I went back and reviewed, oh, one other thing, on the refill. The complainant keeps saying that anytime a refill is done, that's a red flag for a recheck. The client communication discharge instructions say that a refill is often time for a recheck. It's not in every situation. And what that refers to is controlled substances. If there's a refill for a controlled substance, by law, they have to see the pet again. So it's not an automatic that anytime there's a refill, there has to be a recheck. Not in this, the medication that was the subject of the refill. And that just shows the phone call, they called, they said, we're running low on medication. The owner claims that there was a complete abandonment of care. That concern, which is a relatively minor one, was timely addressed. They returned the call within 30 minutes and got the refill. The only other phone call that they got that was anything urgent was on the 8th, and that's when that phone call was returned within 41 minutes, and they were instructed to go see the regular vet, but they were already on their way to the ER by that time. There's no record in the, you know, they say if it's not in the medical record, it didn't happen. Nowhere in the medical record is there a request for a recheck. I went back and looked at my notes from the investigative committee, and Dr. Butler voted against the proposed violation in this case. And he said if what the owner is saying is possibly true, then in any event, the information didn't get communicated to the veterinarian, and that's a communication issue. And in the words of Dr. Butler, if the information wasn't given to her, it's not her fault or responsibility. We believe the evidence does not support that there were repeated demands for a recheck appointment. In any event, the outcome in this case would have been the same. It ultimately was seen for a recheck. It received subsequent care at the ER facility, and then, due to a myriad of medical complications, the owner elected human euthanasia. Those are my closing comments. Doctor, do you have anything you wish to add?
I do. I think it may be rehashing what we've discussed, but it was important to me to point out some inconsistencies on the part of the owner's statement in this case. None of the voicemails that they left or any of the conversations with the owner before the 8th of February indicated an emergency or any kind of distress or any issue that was inconsistent with what I was treating it for. The voicemails on the 26th, 29th, and the 1st did not indicate a new concern to me. If you're episodically imbalanced in the morning and you hurt when the pred is lowered, that doesn't seem unusual to me because that's exactly what I was treating him for. I had no, there were no issues that were reported that would raise a concern for pancreatitis or anything else associated with pred, prednisone administration. Our records do not show that the owner ever requested a recheck or even a phone call until February 8th, and it was charted. If this was being eliminated, why was it charted on that particular occasion? It doesn't make sense to me that it was requested because it was actually documented on the 8th. And she reported intermittent vomiting for a couple of weeks, and then everything was worse on Sunday. Not only does the history of vomiting that we outline, but the Phoenix Veterinary Referral ER also document the timeline for the vomiting. I did on the 8th recommend that they stop prednisone and either go to us or the RD. The receptionist did tell them to stop the pred and go to their veterinarian, but did not let the owners know that they could come to us for that. Although this is important, by the time they listened to our message, they had already taken their dog to an ER, so I'm not sure it impacted the outcome. I do also have concerns with the owner's delay in seeking care when a dog is intermittently vomiting or can even consistently over the weekend. Given the fact that the owner is a physician and he's administering sub-Q fluid therapy at home, why did they wait until Monday to seek ER help? In summary, I would like to say I did not ignore the owner's concern about their pet. If I'd have been tipped off or informed in any way that there was an emergency or a change in his condition, I would have asked to see him again or insisted that they go to an ER, which is what my discharge paperwork would have recommended. Thank you.
Do any more board members? Any more questions from board members?
I just had a question, and I don't know if you probably have the specific information right now, but since we're asking about appointments and all that, if I were to call today to schedule an appointment for my dog, how far are you guys from scheduling right now? Approximately. I know you don't have to schedule for a month.
Well, it depends on how urgent the appointment is. If it's a paralyzed dog that is not using its back legs or front limbs, those are fit in the same day they call, if possible. If it's intermittent seizure patient for which an owner wants to discuss what other drug therapy might be available, that might be scheduled out as much as 4 to 5 days later. So it depends on the urgency of the call. If it's urgent, and seizures that are non-stop or non-paralyzed dogs, those are definitely worked in that day.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a follow-up question. This is Jane Solomon.
Okay, so go ahead.
Is it correct, Dr. Knowles, that is from January 14th until the dog went to the emergency, it was taken to the emergency facility, there was no recheck?
That is correct.
Thank you.
So I have a question I was going to ask before that. What is the complaints mentioned paying $3,000, maybe we'll pay $3,000 more, whatever, but what is the recheck? I mean, if they're a patient, they pay their initial fee up front. What is the follow-up visits, practice, or each one of those individually billed office time? Is that part of the treatment plan up front? They pay for that already, and how does that scheduling and payment fees kind of work for an ongoing case?
Well, it depends on the type of problem. In this particular case, I wouldn't have thought a 10-day recheck would have been warranted based on the complaints that I was hearing or concerns, because it was relapse of pain and relapse of coordination. I had treated the dog for that 2 weeks prior. I had no concerns that the signs were related to anything else that I was treating him for. So I would have been more alarmed at the 30-day mark if we were unable to get him off prednisone and pain medication and he was still struggling with these issues. That would be for a problem that's been present for a year or so. I would have at least given it a month, because some of those dogs will turn the corner more, it takes some more time.
I guess what I'm asking is, are there additional fees when it gets to that 30-day? And we've got to try, if you're switching gears and trying something else, then of course that's a different fee. I'm observing, but you're observing that, okay, it's working, it's not working. Is that an added fee? Is that part of what they paid for up front?
There is a charge for a recheck.
Yeah.
And I forget what it is off the top of my head, but it's less than the original exam.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of what I had. I'm not sure I got it. asked the way I wanted to ask it.
Well, we can discuss it maybe in the answer too. Do you guys offer telemedicine services through VetNeuro?
I'm sorry?
Do you guys offer telemedicine services through VetNeuro, or is everything in the hospital?
No, we do have Zoom appointments with clients. If it's being transferred from one doctor to another, they were seen recently, or the patients in Las Vegas and the referring veterinarian, that usually applies to epileptics for the most part, but absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, any other questions for board members? Anybody on the phone? Last chance?
No, sir.
All right, so this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. To step back now, the board will deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
Can we respond to anything that they said?
No. Her license is in jeopardy. You don't have anything in jeopardy.
Yes, it feels like I'm on trial, that's why.
I think we had James, you're the lead.
Yeah, so we're discussing case 2199, and you know, this is a really tough situation for me because, as in many of our cases, this is definitely a communication-based complaint. And I feel like, I mean, in my core, that this veterinarian felt like they were doing everything that they should be doing. It followed the treatment protocols for other pets that have the same condition. Drugs are the same, you know, the symptoms of what was going on are fairly similar. The problem lies with the fact that the owner didn't understand that. And I believe that too. I believe the owners felt like they were saying that my dog's off balance, my dog's not acting right, my dog's in pain. And they felt like it's being ignored. And I think that the issue is that they never talked to each other. You had technicians going back and forth, and we rely on our technicians. I get that. I do as well. But at some point in the, you know, 3 week period of which this case went on, at some point I kind of go, you know, maybe let's talk to the chase and actually talk to the owner. And I think we wouldn't be here today had that happened, because I think if they had talked to Dr. Knowles would have explained, well, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And they would have said, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. I get why you're doing that. But that never happened. And the technicians being in the middle is really hard. It's really hard to say, what did the technicians exactly relay? Did they ask for an appointment? Did they not, you know, stress that they really wanted an appointment? I don't know, and it's hard even when it's person to person, let alone a middleman over there. So I just find that this case is a really challenging one, and I feel for both parties, because I feel like Dr. Noel felt she was doing what she should have, and the owner feels like we've invested in our dog, we love our dog, and we have called multiple times and aren't getting answers. And so I don't know that anything we're gonna do here is gonna really be able to fix that predicament, although I guess for me, I definitely don't feel like this fits with gross negligence, but I do feel like we could have a communication issue here, and maybe after RJ 11501 for, you know, create verbal communication regarding how the dog is doing and what the symptoms are that they're seeing, and whether this is normal follow-up or whether this is something different. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't know if other members of the committee want to chime in.
Mr. Chairman, this is James Solomon, and I'd love to chime in. Thank you. Just to clarify, it was 25 days with no recheck. And my concern is I'm hearing attempts to shift the onus for initiating a recheck being shifted from the veterinarian to the complainant. And I would love to hear from the other DVMs on the board whether that's part of how they practice, or, you know, if to say,
it's being claimed that they didn't specifically request it in a voicemail, it didn't happen over 25 days.
Well, and I don't, this is Secretary, I don't see that, I don't see that it was trying to shift it to them. I see it as Dr. Knowles didn't think the recheck was necessary. So she didn't recommend a recheck because she didn't feel it was necessary based on what she was being told through the technician, right? But this case was following symptoms and things that other separate cases have done. She changed medication, she adjusted. I don't think she felt that a recheck was necessary in that 25 days or whatever it was. What I think is the problem is that it's really hard to judge whether a recheck is necessary if you haven't talked to the owner. I mean, this is all going through your technicians, and again, I love my technicians, but sometimes I just want to know for myself, am I missing something here? Are they saying something that I'm not getting through this communication? And there were multiple calls.
Yes.
I have multiple different symptoms of this, so I'm not feeling quite right. Any other comments from the board?
This is Dr. Wright. I mean, I agree with you. This is more in the communication realm of issues and what to do with that. I mean, the medical standpoint of the way this case was handled was good. I mean, this is how you deal with these things. You do credit on bad dogs and bad dogs constantly. I dare say probably they're treating more like that than our surgery because it is a very expensive process. The medications do work really well in those cases, and unfortunately, it's an adverse reaction that nobody could have really predicted. I use steroids and Minmins all the time, and we rarely see issues. That being said, steroids are a cause of mine, and they have issues with diet. I mean, so these are known things. I can't fault adults for these things because it's an issue. It's a risk of any medication. I mean, someone can take an aspirin, rupture their stomach, and die. I mean, that's all medications have issues. A handout was given to the client. The handout was given that talked about the medications, and it does say if you expect an overdose or adverse reaction to the medication, call your veterinary office immediately. If they're not available, follow the directions. It's not at the emergency facility. So, I mean, there is, again, a referral for emergency there. We had the Banfield, which they called, and this was later, they couldn't get them in. It's hard. This is a reality in veterinary medicine right now that we have for many years been at the beck and call of people. We had time to do that. Those days are in our rearview mirror. We can't have that anymore. Just like human medicine, I have chronic medications. If I have an issue, it takes me weeks to get into my doctor. Specialists can be scheduled out into March, April, May. I mean, this is just the reality of medicine, and it's unfortunate, it's hard, but we can't all just bring people in every single day whenever there's an issue. We can't get on the phone and talk to everybody every single day when there's an issue. And that's where other hospitals are there, referrals for emergency and all that. And it seems like maybe that could have been more clear that maybe we need to go to an emergency clinic earlier somewhere that can get them in. But is it all that onus on the veterinarian? I guess that's kind of the question in my mind of where do we go? Again, the medical standpoint, the treatment of this patient, the medications, the doses that were used are all appropriate. This was just an unfortunate situation with medications. And is there an issue there? Is it the fault of the doctor or what? And that's kind of sticking to my mind. Is this all on the doctor, or is there, hey, we need to recognize these signs all around and we need to get in somewhere. I mean, if I call my doctor today, I'll go to an emergency clinic or urgent care. I can't get my doctor directly. So it's very hard, and we're in a massive paradigm shift in veterinary medicine, and we're going to see a lot of issues with this because we are no longer able to be available to pick up the phone at any given time. We're not able to just get some in on any given day because we're booking out weeks and weeks a lot of times. So it's a very hard, and I would definitely like comments on that, because it's a communication issue. It's just what is the issue.
So along those lines of the communication, there was a sheet given, okay, here's the side effects of prednisone to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. But That's not what they talked about when they called in. Talking about walking funny, hurting, but not the bloody diarrhea, whatever is on that sheet says, okay, prednisone, this is a problem, stop it and call me. So.
And I don't know where.
Yeah, communication, and like we said it over and over again, and I guess for the people that are here frequently, you probably get tired of hearing it, but 99% of what happened for us is a communication issue initiated. And there may be something else behind it too, but the communication is why I came here. I want to straighten that out somewhere else.
And it's very hard in veterinary medicine with communication because we are reliant upon interpreting signs. We can't say we're going to be hurt. If I have a dog that has knee pain and I'm examining his back leg and I mess with its hip, that could cause pain in the knee, and now I'm looking at the hip. Is that the issue? Well, no, it's a knee, but the dog can't tell me that. That's another reason why I think that telemedicine is a very difficult thing in student veterinary medicine because we're relying on now a layperson's interpretation of what they're seeing in their pet to relay me so I can make a diagnosis. How am I supposed to do that? We have in here the conversations and the emails saying that we're a little off, we're having these issues, but it's, again, it does sound like it could be interpreted as a continued back issue, which is not surprising. These things are not something that are fixed all the time. I mean, even when I was in school, I was told, don't treat these at home with clients, just hold them in your hospital, and basically keep them in jail or cat because they need to be isolated, they need to not move. Now, that's not practical in a university setting, but it's very hard to relay information back and forth and understand what someone's saying when they're interpreting it from another being, giving to this person, and now I have to interpret from there. So I can see where the miscommunication issues are. Well, let's just modify the medications because what was being reported can't fall in line with cervical issues. So it's a very difficult thing. It's a very hard situation. And this is all communication. It's just where's the failure? Is this a violation of something? It's an unfortunate situation. It's a horrible situation. But is it a violation or is it a
Dr. Wright, this is Jane Solomon piping up again. My concern is that sometimes, it's my understanding that Dr. Knowles and the complainant did not speak directly after the initial visit for 25 days. It seems like I know veterinarians are busy. I know my veterinarian is extremely busy. And I don't think it was that there was an expectation for, you know, every call to be personally returned by Dr. Knowles, that sometimes with all the calls that came from the complainants during those 25 days, there certainly had to have been one or more opportunities that should have been taken by Dr. Knowles to contact them directly.
Well, I mean, obviously, in retrospect, we can easily say that, but in the time, like I said, based on what was being relayed, can we say that based on that, in that moment? And that's again, where I'm having a hard time. But yeah, in retrospect, yeah, it'd have been nice to come in, get some blood work, and see what's up. I mean, that's something that day practices do constantly. Specialty practices that don't always do that stuff either. Again, if you are in the, talking to your specialist, they're going to send you to your regular doctor, primary care, that's what I'm looking for, to do certain things. So, I mean, it's very hard, especially when we're looking at a specialty level clinic. They deal with spinal issues, they deal with brain. That's kind of not, but I should really say that more, but I mean, their practice is tailored around certain things. And now we're pushing more towards a human standard of care. We're going to start seeing more limited options because we can't be one-stop shops anymore. So, like I said, yeah, it would be nice to come in and do this, it'd be nice to say this, it'd be nice to say that, but in that moment, was there a failing? And based on what I'm seeing, it's definitely communication, not a meeting of the minds, to come to a consensus on what is truly going on. But again, is that a violation of prescribed statutes? I don't know.
Sometime during those 25 days, after all those incoming calls from the complainant,
there were at least, there were multiple opportunities for Dr. Knowles to reach out to them and call back over 25 days, at least once. And that, because of that, that was not done, and because the claimants did express concern, and that there, that, you know, again, my concern regarding the onus for the recheck, kind of being shifted from the veterinarian to the complainant. I think there are violations here.
Okay, and I understand what you're saying, but what specific statutes are you referencing there? Because, I mean, I understand and I completely agree that there are issues here, but what prescribed statutes and rules are you referring to when you say there's violations? Because I can't fit it to anything in particular, personally.
Well, I think Dr. James referenced one of them.
Well, she referenced a rule on communication, but not the statute that goes with the rule.
Well, I can add 32 number 12. I didn't say that, but that's a pretty standard one that we do.
Yeah.
So it would be, you know, around the communication specifically. So I don't believe this is a medical case, and I think we're all in alignment on that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we ought to say that in so many words, too. Yeah, it's a communication case, not a medical case, because the care is not what led to the death of the dog. Not in and of itself, anyway.
So I guess at this point, I will make the motion, and then we can vote on it, but my motion would be that I'll make a motion to adopt the investigative committee's findings of fact as the board's findings of fact.
Second, I'm going to do it separate. Okay, so we have a motion for a second. Find the board's findings of facts as our findings of fact. Is there any discussion on that?
Where are we going to that?
Why? Yeah, I don't know why we're going to that. We haven't found a violation.
Yeah, so that's future. So right now, I'm just making a motion for a violation. Yeah, I don't have to worry about findings of fact and stuff. So right now you're just making a motion for a violation, and then we'll deal with the consent agreement later, based on the vote.
I'll make a motion and we find a violation of 3322-33 number 12 that relates to R311-5011 for written and verbal communication with regards to scheduling follow-up and hearing the progress report on the sub. Second.
A motion on the floor and second find a violation. Any further discussion? Seeing none,
Stu Dave roll call.
Dr. Burton?
Nay.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mrs. Lodi?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Disney, the motion fails.
So what were you thinking if you didn't think it was just the way
it was? I don't know. I mean, it's not fitting specific statute issues. I mean, really, the letter of concern is kind of the acts that I can fit it to. It's an unfortunate situation. It's sad.
If you make a motion, somebody may second it.
I'll make a motion to offer letter of concern in regard to communication around the case, exams, rechecks, and refer to our emergency limits. And I hope we have, or hope we have, I guess.
Did you highlight the word communication into that?
And communication.
Communication.
So, yeah, communication in regards to follow-up exams, referrals, and refer emergency clinic if you can't get the patient at this time. So that's my motion.
And we have a second? Then I will second it. Any discussion? Roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Nay.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Nay.
Mrs. Lodi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Nay.
And the doctor is an aye. Motion carries.
Yeah, yeah. The board has voted to issue a letter of concern. This concludes this matter. Dr. Knowles will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. If anyone has any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. And this concludes the informal interview.